into the book of Judges in the series Zeros and Heroes. Last week, we looked at the general overview of the book. And if you remember, we asked the question, how did I get into this mess? What led Israel into the situation in which they were during the time of the judges? And last week, we looked at six main reasons based on the introduction in verses chapters 1 and 2 that led Israel into the mess that they were in this dark time in history, because everything started out great. Under Joshua's leadership, they had gone into the land, they had conquered, they had driven out and taken possession, and they were living there, but they didn't fully, as we saw, obey the Lord completely. Their partial obedience was one of the reasons they had fallen into a mess. But after Joshua's death, they began to fall away from God, and they went through 12 cycles where they would fall away from the Lord, fall into sin. Because they had sinned, they would cry out to the Lord. God would allow them and discipline to be taken captive. In their captivity, they would cry out to the Lord. The Lord would hear, send a deliverer. And remember, the word judge means deliverer. Send a deliverer. They would serve the Lord as long as the deliverer died. And then when he died, as long as he lived, and then the deliverer died, they would fall back into sin again. The book of Judges are going to go through 12 cycles of that. But today we want to look at the very first judge. A guy by the name of Othniel. I think I'm saying his name right. Dean says I'm not. Othniel, that's how I'm saying it. But has anybody here heard of him before? I see that hand. Anybody else? Couple. A person we probably not know too much about in the scripture, but a very interesting guy. And it's interesting that the Lord would begin the story of the judges with him, because Othniel's name is very significant in scripture, as all the names are. And I've entitled this first message in the as we look at the first judge, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, because we're going to find out some interesting things about him and how he relates to our Savior Jesus Christ, the greatest of all the judges. Because the one who really brings true deliverance is Jesus himself. And his name, we're going to start with his name so we can get an understanding of who he is, since we don't really know too much about him. None of us have heard too much of him before. Othniel, his name means this, you might want to write it down, powerful one or lion of God. And that's what his name means. Very significant in his name and why he would be recorded as the first one of the judges that we're going to look at, and why the book of Judges would begin with him and his story. Even though it's very short, it's only told in a few verses. It's not a significant part of the book of Judges, as we'll see some of the others are, but very significant in who he was. But being powerful one or lion of God, does that name remind you of somebody else who is the powerful one? Somebody else who is a lion and pictured as a lion in Scripture. We're going to see a lot of parallels between Othniel, the first judge, and Jesus, our deliverer and our Savior, and his story. In Othniel's story, we're going to see our story. And we're going to see Jesus' story unfolded before us and lived out in his life. Because Othniel was kind of a foreshadow. Even though he was not, he was kind of a foreshadow of who Jesus was going to be. And the kind of ministry that Jesus was going to have and has in our life. So with a little bit about who he is, let's look at this story together and discover four things about the lion from the tribe of Judah that made him significant. And four things that we can learn and apply to our life from his story. And the first thing we discover from him is the compassion that he shows. It says that the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord, their God, and served the Baals and Asherahs, as we've seen. This first cycle, Baal was the fertility god of the Canaanites. And because the Israelites made their living off of farming and agriculture, that was the way most of them had lived and supported themselves, they soon adopted the practices of the pagans around them, the Canaanites around them, of worshiping Baal, because they thought if they could get in his favor, maybe their crops would produce greater abundance. But in worshiping Baal, they had forsaken God, but also in that they had fallen into a lot of sin. And so they fell into sin, and God in his discipline allowed Cushan-Rishathaim, we're going to come back to his name later, who was the king of Aram, to take them captive. And the scripture says here, for 8 years, God, when he took them into the land, his purpose was that they were to drive all the nations out and live in victory. Not to be dominated by any others, but they were to dominate them. And now they find themselves living in captivity for 8 years. And the bondage under Cushan was very, very intense. So in the midst of their, where they were, in the midst of their sin and where it took them, in the mess they found themselves again, they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord raised up for them a deliverer by the name of Othniel, or Savior. We're going to talk more about him, but he raised up a Savior in response. What does that teach us? Well, what I see is in the compassion that our Lord, the Lion of Judah, shows, that when we, and God in his love and grace, will let us walk away from him. But when we do, and we get ourselves in a mess, as we had seen last week, when we cry out to God, he will come in compassion and he will forgive us. He doesn't let us stay in that sin, but when we ask for forgiveness, he will bring deliverance. And aren't you thankful that God in his grace is like that to us? I mean, he could have said to Israel, you got yourself in that mess, you forsook me, you went to serve Baal. If you care for him, then let him take care of you. But God in his grace, when they cried out to him, he was merciful and he forgave and he brought deliverance. And that's one of the things that we can learn from this story to apply to our life. Because we all have times when we fall into sin. We all have times when we mess up in life. And I am thankful for God, when we cry out, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not part, not some, but all, right? Praise God that he is merciful, he is forgiving, he is abounding in love. He does not hold our sins against us, but he buries them in the depths of the deepest sea. And so we see in the Lion of the tribe of Judah, reflected in Christ himself, of the compassion that is shown to us through our Savior Jesus, through our ultimate deliverer and our ultimate judge. So whatever it is you're going through, know that God can deliver you from it. And God in his compassion and his grace is always there to forgive us, to restore us, and to make us right. That's something to praise him for. The compassion that he shows to us every day. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more and more I am thankful for God's grace. The more and more I depend and rely on God's grace. Because sometimes the older we get, the more we mess up things. You know, we forget things. We don't always do things like we, and we can make more mess ups, it seems. We learn things, but we can still, but that's where we need grace. And God's grace always coming in to restore and to forgive. When we cry out to him, he will respond with forgiveness. What a wonderful God we have. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And this picture that I found and the compassion that he shows. You see in the shadow behind the lion's face, what do you see? But you see Jesus with the crown of thorns on his head. Because that's where the ultimate compassion was shown. when he took our place on the cross. That's where the ultimate deliverance was won and paid for us. So the compassion that he shows for us is the second thing we see in this story that we can apply to our life. It's the credentials that he displays. Let's look at a little bit more about Othniel's life since we don't know too much about him. The scripture does give us some more. In addition to a story here, we see that when the people cried out to their for deliverance, God responded, and he raised up a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So we see that in choosing this man to be the first deliverer, the first judge of Israel, it was significant because he came with some credentials. He came with some important background in his life that was going to help him deliver his people. And our God, Jesus, that we serve, has certain credentials that makes him able to deliver us. Notice his origin. Let's go back a couple chapters. You've got to go back to chapter 1. We're going to find some interesting things. Maybe when you read through this, and I didn't talk about it last week because I was potentially waiting for today. But in chapter 1, verse 8, it says that the men of Judah, as they began to go forth and after Joshua's death, the men of Judah attacked Jerusalem, and they took it, and they put the city to the sword and set it on fire. After that, the men of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites living on the hill country, the Negev of the western foothills. And they advanced against the Canaanites living in Hebron, and they defeated the king there, the kings that were there, names are mentioned. And from there they advanced against the people living in Debir. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Achsosh in marriage to the man who attacks and captures the city. And what do you see name mentioned in verse 13? Othniel. And so she urged him to ask. And so he was the son of Kenaz. Caleb's younger brother took it. And so Caleb gave the daughter Achsosh to him in marriage. Othniel was the son, was the nephew of Caleb. So we see in his origin, first he was of the tribe of Judah. What's significant about the tribe of Judah? Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. And so we see in his origin, this first deliverer that Jesus, that the Lord sets up for us as an example, came from the tribe of Judah, showing that the way of deliverance first comes through that tribe, through him. But then it says that he was the nephew of Caleb. Anybody remember who Caleb was? Joshua and Caleb, of the people that left, of the whole nation that left Egypt 40 years prior to this, the spies were sent into the land by Moses. And remember, they had 12 spies, one from each tribe, and they were to spy out the land and give a report back. And two spies came back, Joshua and Caleb, says, we can go in and we can take possession of this land. We can do it. And the other 10 said, we cannot. And remember, the people listened to who? The 10. And because they refused to listen to that, they were sent into bondage. They were sent into wilderness wandering for 40 years. So God said only Joshua and Caleb could enter the land. We get to chapter Genesis. We get here to chapter 1, and we see that it's Caleb going in and taking possession of that land that has been promised. And he was the son, the nephew of Caleb. So his name, his origin is significant, that he came from the tribe of Judah. He was a descendant of Caleb. And he was faithful. His origin was significant. And the origin of Jesus and his credentials is that he is God himself, making him able to deliver us from the tribe of Judah. But his name, and we talked about his character. His character here, as we look back again at chapter 1 of Judges and chapter 3, when it mentions him, we're going to discover as we go through this book that this is the only judge that nothing significant of negative is mentioned about him. All the other judges we're going to see are going to have some kind of character flaw. They're going to have some kind of sin they struggle with. And God putting that in is good because we can relate to that. But in Othniel, there is nothing negative about him mentioned. Why is that significant? Because I think in this first judge, God is showing us our true judge, Jesus, that comes from the tribe of Judah, that comes to have a character and one who served God to the forefront and gave his life. And in the character and the credentials that Christ displays for us, our Lion of Judah, he is the Lamb of God from the tribe of Judah who has come, leaving heaven to bring us deliverance and redemption. Third thing we discover from this story, here's where it applies to our life as well, is the companion that he shares. Let's look at verse 10 as we go back to Judges 3. It says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge, and he went to war. This Othniel, who the Lord raised up in response and compassion, the Lord somehow put it on Othniel's heart, and the Spirit of God came upon him and moved him to take action and to go against Cushan and to lead the people into freedom and to overpower him. But the companion that he shared was the one, it says here, the Holy Spirit of God, or the Spirit of God came upon him. Jesus, our Lion of Judah, in the upper room, when he was sharing with his disciples before his death, he said, after I leave, I am going to send somebody to be with you. Do you remember who he promised? He said, the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to send him to be with you, that he will be with you always. And I am sending him from me to you, that he will be with you, your companion, to share with you and to share life with you and to be by your side. And in the companion and Othniel, what led him into victory was the Holy Spirit upon him, who empowered him and gave him power for living. You and I share that same companion from Christ. And that's the Holy Spirit who he sent to you and I, to us, to dwell within us, to come upon us, and to give us strength. So what's that mean? How does that apply to us? Well, in those times when we are discouraged, those times when we get lonely, those times when we feel we can't go on anymore, when those times we seem like we're struggling with sin and can't overcome a particular sin that we're dealing with, and we say, how can I get over this? Well, the Holy Spirit is our power in us. And the power of the Spirit and the presence of the Spirit is with us always, giving us power for living, giving us the power that we need. We don't go through life alone. And the same Holy Spirit that was hovering over creation in Genesis chapter 1, when it says that when God created in the beginning, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters, the deep. That same Holy Spirit that was hovering in creation, that when God spoke, brought everything into existence. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and the power of the resurrection that brought him back to life again is the same power that's dwelling in you. You realize that? That's the same companion who's with you. The same one who came upon Othniel to give him the strength that he needed to overcome Cushan is the same power reigning and dwelling in you. And sometimes we can get discouraged. Sometimes we can be bit down. We can be downtrodden. But we have power within us if we just use or yield to him. The scripture says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord. He said, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And sometimes we can't get through the challenges we're facing in life, or the battles that we're enduring, or the discouragements that we have, or the fear or the worry that we struggle with, because we try to do it in our own strength. And when we try to fight the battles in our own strength or overcome sin in our own strength, we're not going to do it. We're going to continue to fail. Because it's not by might nor by power, but it's only through his Spirit dwelling within us. And it was the Holy Spirit that came upon Othniel, Holy Spirit coming in us to give us that power we need. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So you say, but Dan, I can't. I just can't get over this. I just can't get over what someone did to me. I just can't love this person like I should. I just can't let this go. Someone was sharing with me, they said that's a hard time sometimes of taking things to, we take it to the Lord and we just can't leave it there sometimes. We still keep taking it back. You ever been there? We'll take it, we'll pray, and we just can't seem to let it go. You know, and we have the power within us through the Holy Spirit. And when we struggle with ourselves, we can't make it sometimes. So we have the power for living through the Spirit and His presence, that He's with us always to comfort and to sustain. But the fourth thing we learn from this story is the conquest that He brings. Because as the Holy Spirit came upon Othniel, he went to war, he became a judge, a deliverer, and he went to war. It said, the Lord gave Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram, into his hands, and he overpowered him. And the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel died. And then Israel's going to fall back into sin again. But God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, won a great victory that day. You say, what's that mean for us? So that was a long time ago. Again, because Othniel's name was significant, so was Cushan's. I want to tell you what his name means. And this is how it applies thus. Cushan Rishathaim, if I'm saying it right, his name means this: dark and doubly wicked and evil. And if you think this wasn't significant, why God began the story of the Judges with this, we have the Lion of God on one side, and on the other side we have a guy who's named dark, doubly evil, and wicked. Who's that make you think of? Who's our struggle really against? Who's our battle, the one we really fight against? Yes, Israel was captured, and they were being taken into captivity for their sin. They cried out to God. He showed them mercy, but their struggle was really against the forces of darkness. And isn't that ours? Who's behind what leads us to get discouraged? Who's the one that makes us to get discouraged or fearful or doubt? Where's that all come from? It comes from Him. But the victory is won because our Lion, who fights for us, has defeated the one who was dark, doubly evil and wicked. Aren't you thankful for that? And He has won the battle, and He's won the war for us. And it's significant that that's what that name means. Doubly evil and doubly wicked. And as I was doing some reading about Him, it says not only did His name portray who He was, it said that's how He ruled, and that's how He oppressed Israel. And it was at really a time He was like considered the worst, as Samuel was inspired to write His name down for us. It was like he's saying He was the worst of the worst. I mean, He was like as evil and as wicked of a guy that there could be. And that's who the battle was against. But Satan is the one who our struggle's against. But He won for us the battle. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 says, do not weep, because see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. When Jesus hung on the cross and was crucified that day, Satan, Cushan, dark, double, wicked, and evil, thought he won the war. And when he was put into the tomb and they sealed it over the grave of Christ, he thought, I won. I got the ultimate of God now. I got His Son, and I got Him under the power of death, and I've got Him in my grip for all eternity. So he thought. But 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. Jesus came out of the grave, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. Praise God. And so we have won that victory. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross that day, the war was done. You all know, from when we went through the book of Revelation together, that the end of the book and the end of the story tells us that we have already won the war. Satan knows it. He knows what the end of the result is. And he has triumphed. So if the conquest that he has brought for us, if that's the case, that our lamb, our lion has triumphed, then why do we go down sometimes distraught? Why do we walk around sometimes like, oh, you know, we've won the war. Yes, we may go through some hard times, but we've won the war, right? It's victorious for us. We need to live with that confidence and that assurance. I come across this that I wanted to share with you. And it says that Satan may roar, but my defender is the Lion of Judah, and he will fight for me. Because the scripture that I had up there at the beginning, if you read it, from 1 Peter, said that Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. But notice what Peter said. Satan is what? Like a roaring lion. And yes, a roaring lion can be fearful. But Peter didn't say Satan is the lion. Who is the lion? Jesus, our lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's the one who fights for us. He may roar like a lion, but he's not the lion. The lion is on our side, and the lion has won the war. If any of you have ever seen the movie or read the books by C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, and met Aslan, the lion, who represents Jesus, that so beautifully portrays for us what he did and what this story is really all about, the Lion of God. And he has won the war for us. The white witch who thought she had won, thought she had him in power, thought she had won, was defeated whenever the table broke and Aslan came back to life again. And so it is with us in the conquest that he's won for us. So praise God in what we learn from him and what he's done for us. So we see in this story that he is a God of compassion. That when we fall into sin, we cry out to him, he will bring deliverance. We see that he has the credentials to save because he is the one who has come from God himself. We see that he has sent the companion, the Holy Spirit, to be with us, to give us presence and power and strength, and that he has won the victory and has won the war for us. So today, you have a lion who fights on your side, the Lion of God, who is in our corner, is in your corner. And if anything that you is holding you captive, know that he has raised up the deliverer, the Lion of God, who fights for you. And he can give you the power you need to be delivered from doubt, from fear, from discouragement, from unforgiveness, from some sin that you can't seem to get over. He is here and has the ability to deliver us from those things. And he has won the war for us through his own death and resurrection on the cross. So the lion from the tribe of Judah has prevailed. So weep no more, because the lion and the tribe of Judah has triumphed. God has raised him up for us. Othniel and this first judge, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, we see a beautiful picture of who our ultimate judge Jesus is and what he has come to do for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the story of Othniel, because his life is a picture of who you are and what you've done for us. That you raised up that first judge, Lord, to show us that where deliverance truly comes from, by the power of your Spirit, that you have triumphed, that you have won the victory, and you have make it possible for us. So Lord, in those times we get discouraged or we're struggling with a sin we just can't seem to conquer, remind us, Lord, that the battle's already been won. When the enemy, Lord, breathes down our neck or roars like a lion and tries to instill fear and doubt in us, tries to maybe even question our faith sometimes, whether we're saved. Lord, his roar is loud and his roar can be scary. But he is just like a lion. He's not the lion. We think that you are the lion and you have triumphed. And at your name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And you have won the war. And greater is the one who is in us than the one who's in the world. And you fight for us. You are on our side. And we thank you that you've given us a companion, the Holy Spirit, to be in us and with us always, to give us the power that we need to live for you and to remind us of your presence constantly with us always. So thank you, Lord, for this story that so beautifully shows us who you are and the victory that you've won for us. May we leave here with confidence and assurance and thanksgiving that you, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has prevailed, has won the war, and is with us always. And sustain us and encourage us with that truth. And it's in Christ, our winning and living Lord, we ask this prayer in his name. Amen.